Hello, and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I'm joined with my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And in this episode, we have some pretty exciting updates regarding Dexcom G7, and then also regarding new pricing for semaglutide for Ozempic and Wegovy. So we're going to start with Dexcom first. So Dexcom G7 is going to be 15 days, and they have announced that they are launching on December 1st, which is very, very exciting. And in addition to that, several kind of things they've shared is that initially at launch, it is going to be available in DMEs, so durable medical equipment providers. Later on, soon after, it should be available in pharmacies. And then I think the other big announcement was regarding the insulin pump integration. So at launch, they are going to integrate with Omnipod 5 and with iLet. And then they've said soon after, we don't know the exact timeline, but they should integrate with Control-IQ Plus. So, Natalie, what do you think?
We've been waiting for this, haven't we? We're excited. I mean, what is the difference between 10 and a half days and 15 and a half days? What is the, it's a lot. It's another thing a person with diabetes has to do, and they're taking that away. So I'm excited about it. I love that they've already got two industry partners. Dexcom is integrated with lots of different insulin pumps. They've got two at the get-go. I know the others will follow. So this is an amazing thing. So it'll be 15.5 days, as Dexcom has done in the past with their 10, right? Their 10-day sensor, it was 10, and then this extra 12-hour grace period, which is really nice. If you've had to change your sensor at an odd time of day or night, it gives you a 12-hour grace period at the 10-day sensor to give it a little more time. To make that decision when it's convenient for you. They've done the same graciously in the 15-day sensor. So it truly will last 15 and a half days, which is a really nice thing. So it is FDA approved, though, for 18 and older. And they are saying that it maintains this high accuracy and features like waterproof, direct to Apple Watch right away, all the things that we love about the Dexcom. People love to look at their, they go, oh, I'm 147 and rising. Oh, I'm 115 and dropping, right on their arm, not picking up a phone, not looking at a pump. This is a, that people love their watches.
Yeah, and I think so the algorithm is supposed to be updated. So they're ensuring the accuracy is supposed to be even better. And so that will be really interesting because obviously 15-day wear, you kind of, you want to still have good accuracy on day 11, 12, and so on. So that will be really interesting to see. And then I think the other point you brought up is just really important that it is only FDA cleared for 18 and over. So that means kids should continue to use their 10-day Dexcom G7, and they wouldn't switch over to the 15-day. The other thing, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that's important to talk about a little bit. So, children are an adult, and children go to school and they run around and they have gym class and they do this and they're dirty and they're whatever and they're this and they're that. I don't know how, right? I think that we got to get this 15-day out, see how it goes on adults that have a little bit, the majority of adults have a little bit more standard, predictability in their lives, right? Not every single one, but I think that this was a great decision on Dexcom's part. Let's start with 15 and a half days and see how it goes. I am sure we're going to see younger ages approved at some point in the future. Just like with a lot of products, we don't approve two and up right away. We approve eight and up. We approve seven and up or six and up or, for different AID systems, those kinds of things. And then slowly they back it down, right? I am thinking in my head that this is what Dexcom's doing here.
Yeah, I mean, right, that's the hope. Eventually it will expand to kids. And it sounds like it's going to be a pretty seamless start to using it. It does use the same app, the same Dexcom G7 mobile
Yep.
app. So it won't be hard for people to figure out, to make that transition. And then also what we're hearing with the pump integration is that it should be pretty smooth. It may not even require a pump update. It should be pretty smooth. I know in the case of Omnipod, they're saying that it you don't need different pods. It's going to be the same pods that are already out there.
You don't have to
Cool.
wait till they're all gone. You don't have to use up your last. You don't have to, right. The things that we think about when you and I always talk about this, right? The burden of the person with diabetes. I want as many seamless transitions as possible so someone can transition to this easily. That's going to make it so much nicer for my office, for and for the people in the diabetes community that we serve. This is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they've really come a long way. There's a lot more people now, primary care settings, people with type 2 diabetes that are using the system. Yeah, it just really, it's amazing how it's exploded. It's really become mainstream. And then the other thing, so sharing the data now has become so much easier. And I just remember the frustrations for a while where previously you couldn't see all the data in the app. And people had to download like a separate app to be able to share their data. And now everything, like within the G7 app, you can connect to Dexcom Clarity. So the person can see their time in range and average glucose and even their glucose management indicator, their estimate of A1C, but then they can seamlessly connect. And we hope primary care is looking at the data. That's a whole separate topic, right? But at least it's become really easy to use and really easy to share the data. So I do think 15 days is just going to further encourage people, like, hey, that's less sensor changes. That's going to be convenient.
I love it. And then the other very, very exciting thing that we learned was that Dexcom also got approval for their smart basal and basal adjustment feature. So recently cleared, integrated directly into the D7 15-day app experience to simplify the process of finding an optimal basal insulin dose. And you would think to yourself as a clinician, well, this is what I do. What do we need this for? I can't tell you the number of people that come in where their basal hasn't been optimized, right? So it's going to be very interesting. The healthcare professional would pick the first dose, then data analysis happens. The system uses all of the CGM data, not just single fasting numbers, to provide personalized daily dose recommendations and reminders within the app. This is for glargine, by the way, right? So the most common, and it doesn't matter what brand, glargine is glargine, right? There's hypoglycemia protection, they call it. So if a low glucose event occurs, the system automatically lowers that recommended dose by an amount predetermined from the healthcare professional to prevent hypoglycemia. So I might say, start this person on 20 units. That's a weight-based dose. If they have a low, I want you to back off by 20%. And we can put that in there so that it automatically does that. Where someone else, I might say, you know what? 10% would be more than enough to back it down by, right? Depending on what those factors that we all think about. Do they live alone? Are they at higher risk for lows? Do they have a history of lows? Do they, right? Those kinds of things. And then once the user's glucose levels remain consistently within the target range, the system says this is the optimal dose and the adjustment process is complete. I can't even believe this. This is using, so many different, is this kind of AI-generated diabetes management. I'm super excited about trying this, of course, right? Like, I want this now. I want to try it with patients. Is this going to help people get to goal more quickly and more safely?
Well, I think this has huge potential because so many people are not optimized. What happens is they are started on 10 units of glargine and then the dose is not touched. And there's tons of barriers. Sometimes people don't make it back in for their follow-up. Sometimes providers are, I don't know, they're worried if they give too much, there'll be lows, and they themselves have struggles with titrating. I think using AI and CGM data to make these adjustments, it's just that makes so much sense. I really think this has great potential to get more people to goal and hopefully ultimately reduce any potential diabetes complications from higher A1Cs or lower time in range.
I'm super excited. And I can see us deciding and saying, okay, we're going to start you at 20. If the system suggests more than whatever the max dose I feel comfortable with is, just contact me, right? Like, and we'll look at it again, or even dose it in between. I'm going to see you in 2 weeks, but use this tool in between. That way they're on 26 in 2 weeks, and I'm not going from 20 to 22 in 2 weeks or 24, right? So in between titrate, I can't wait to try it, and we'll be able to give you all our listeners and viewers more feedback on what we're using it for and how. I mean, I see this more in primary care than where you and I are in endocrinology,
I was thinking that, yeah.
Right. But also, I can't wait to start seeing people come in using it, right? Because then I can optimize the rest of their medications or add the right things at that time.
I think, like, if you start a GLP-1 and someone's on basal insulin, it would be really cool if it could help decrease the dose
Yes.
if you're
And
at hypo.
right. Yeah. Another, I mean, yeah, we're going to have to see. We're going to have to work with our primary care partners and say, let's work on this together with 10 patients and see how it works.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome. All right. Well, are you ready to talk about our next topic?
Let's do it. Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about Novo Nordisk. Yeah.
Yeah. So big news in the last week or so is this updated pricing. So first of all, so GLP drugs have been in the news a lot. We've heard that there's probably going to be a Trump RX and new pricing next year, and there may be more coverage with Medicare and Medicaid that are actually covering these incretin type of drugs. So already that was like, whoa, that was pretty mind-blowing. And, you know, of course, we'll see it when it really gets here, but it's very encouraging in terms of the coverage and the access. But then we got this second bit of news that, like, right now, like, immediately, people now can get these drugs for lower cost. And what that looks like is actually new prescriptions for Ozempic, $199 for the first 2 months. And then after that, the new pricing is $349. Did I get that right?
You did get that right. And interesting, right? Is $349 is down from the $499 that it was. So this is, you know, this is a big chunk, a big lowering. And, you know, it, I think that is, we've all talked about the fact that these, that, you know, semaglutide with the flow trial, with cardiovascular risk reduction, with all the different ways that GLP-1, that semaglutide is a magical drug, right? And we get always get back to, but it's expensive. It's expensive, right? This is helping people that are in between, right? They can't, they don't qualify for patient assistance. Their copays are really high there, or they don't get it covered at all. You know, this self-pay option is going to help people that end up falling in between those cracks. And I'm thrilled that they've been aggressive too. You know, you don't just take off $50 and say, look, more people can afford it. No, they can't. This is a $150 price drop beginning today. So, or beginning the day they started November 17th. So I think it's an aggressive Novo move to really help people get what they need now. And I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty dramatic because you can get all of the doses for $349 of Wegovy, and then you can get Ozempic up to 1 milligram, and then the 2 milligram dose is still going to be higher. So I suppose if someone needed the higher dose, it might make more sense to get Wegovy. But anyway, it's dramatically cheaper and more in line with what other countries are paying for it. And I know it's still a lot. Like, I recognize I still have a lot of patients that are not going to be able to afford this. But this is so much better than $1,000 or the $1,200 or $1,300 that it used to be listed at. So between this announcement and then about kind of potential on Medicaid and Medicare for next year, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just really encouraged that more people are going to have access for type 2 diabetes and for the obesity indication.
And I agree. One of the things you and I talked about before we got on and started recording was, yeah, but how hard is it to get? Like, how is this, you know, do I have to jump through yet another hoop? And they are telling us that self-pay pricing will be available from over more than 70,000 pharmacies. So nationwide home delivery, and then some selected telehealth providers. So it takes the burden off the person and reduces the cost, but it also doesn't make me go to some special website to get yet another thing done. And I know it sounds like, Natalie, you're complaining. No, I do it. I do it every time someone needs me to do it. But if you make it easier for me, it makes it easier for everyone. And I'm not spending till 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night doing, you know, notes, right? And catching up and getting all the prescriptions where they need to go. If this is going to be available at many major retail pharmacies, this will help all of us because patients also don't want to have to go here and there. And this one's coming mail order and it sits on my porch. And is it too hot or too cold? It does sound like they've answered that question by saying, no, let's make this easy for you. So I'm excited to start hearing people come back and say, this is working and this is how, and tell us their stories.
You know, I'm curious, and I don't know the answer. We'll have to reach out to someone, but I'm curious what the pharmacies are going to pay for it, and then what they're going to make or not make once they dispense it. And the reason I bring this up is that through many insurance plans, the reimbursement to pharmacies on these drugs has actually been less than the amount that they pay for it. And so what that means is they actually take a loss when they dispense it. And you might be thinking, well, why do they dispense it? Well, often when you're in contracts with different payers, you have to agree to dispense it. And of course, we want people to have access. So I am curious, we're bypassing insurance now, which is great for us because that means we don't have to fill out PAs. Like, we can just send it to the pharmacy. Person's going to pay cash. They can pick it up. I hope the pharmacy will get reimbursed so that it's fair and so that they want to keep it in stock as well. Some type of fair reimbursement. So we'll see how that pans out as well. But it's really, yeah, it's just become interesting because our whole insurance, the way insurance works, just
not. I think you should understand what you're saying, right? So a pharmacy might take a loss on, you know, semaglutide or tirzepatide, or we're not calling out any specific company or brand or any of that, right? They might take a loss on an antibiotic, but because they sell the other drugs as a package, the person comes in and gets all of their medications filled there, right? We typically don't have people go, oh, I go to this pharmacy for this and this pharmacy for that. We discourage that. And I know you guys do too, Diana. We want it all in one place to help that person. You know, well, you didn't tell CVS that you're allergic to something. You only told Walgreens, or you didn't tell Cleveland Clinic, but you did tell. It just gets confusing very, very quickly. So what happens is pharmacies kind of, you know, take it as a ball and they say, well, we lose on these two, but we gain on these four. So it's worth it. And then someone picks up some, you know, acetaminophen brand or generic Coke, whatever. And they pick up some chocolate and maybe a half a gallon of milk. And then the pharmacy makes some money, right? With this, I'm wondering too, we'll have to reach out to some of our pharmacy partners and ask where this is going to fall now with the cash pay. I do want to go back though and remind people that there still is a copay assistance, right, through Novo Nordisk for people who cannot afford if financials are still an issue, because there are people listening saying $349, I don't have one patient in my entire practice that can afford $349, right? I understand that. I promise you I do. We both work in Cleveland, Ohio. We are not this is not Beverly Hills where we practice either. And those are the people that we send to patient assistance programs, right? That's a whole different ballgame. I just want to remind all of you listeners that those are still available, right?
Yes. However, they have changed, and perhaps they were getting ready for this to occur, and that's part of why they changed. But they did kind of decrease their eligibility. So it used to, for example, be the 400% poverty level, which was very generous. Now it's the 200%. So there are several people that may have been on patient assistance over the last year that may not be eligible anymore. So this, it will be important to let those people know about this option, see if they are able to afford it or not. But the other thing I think it's important to mention is there are copay cards as well. So for those that have some insurance coverage, it's going to be better to probably run it through their insurance, and they can use these copay cards and pay much less. So we still want to encourage people, if they have coverage, probably to use their insurance.
Yes, absolutely, right? And one thing about working with either a diabetes care and education specialist, a nurse practitioner, a PA, your physician, whoever you work with, NP, is that you make sure that you're looking at all the options when you're looking at the cost of medication, so that everything is researched through to make sure you're, you know, is a 3-month prescription cheaper than a 1 month at a time, right? So make sure that that is happening for every prescription every person needs to obtain.
Yeah. And one other thing, just because we are talking about pricing, they did announce for Zepbound, tirzepatide, they were lowering the price of that too. So previously, the starting vial, the lowest dose, that 2.5 milligram, was listed at $349, and that's going down to $299. Now, that is just for the starting dose. As you go up, the dose does get more expensive, but they have gone down as well. So I think we're seeing positive movement in all directions. It's encouraging. And with all these great outcomes with these drugs, hopefully we'll just see the access get better and better.
Absolutely. I think that's the best way to look at this. I think that as newer medications come to market, as, right, this is what happens. New drugs are very, especially new drugs with all of these benefits between semaglutide and tirzepatide, right? We've got kidney reduction, cardiovascular risk reduction. We've got sleep apnea. We've got, look at all the different other things beyond what we were using them for in the beginning was simply diabetes, right? The prices as new drugs come to market will continue to fall to some extent. And this is just what happens. Brand new drugs cost a lot of money to do the research, to do the studies. Mm-hmm. And so as they are, you know, over the next couple of years, I think we will see them drop again.
Awesome. Well, this has been a great discussion. So much exciting news happening. With that, we thank you for tuning in. And that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.